Our gospel reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning with verse 14, and it reads, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 1, to another he gave 2. According to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you have handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what's yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew, didn't you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return, I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But for those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord. I come to you with a sermon that asks the question, God, what do you expect of me? Let us pray. Loving God, we stand before you at this time, waiting to hear what you have for us. We pray, Lord, a prayer of blessing upon this word, that it will be a guide and an inspiration and give us food for thought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God, what do you expect? Both of the scriptures that we read today have this one very important thing in common, and that is they express God's anger against those who have received gifts but chose not to use them. And so I wonder, why is it that God had such a big reaction to those who had gifts that they did not use? Why did God become so angry at those whom he had given those gifts to? And so with that, to begin our journey together, I just want to give one tiny little definition. When we use the word gift, in the context of our sermon today, so that we're all on the same page, so that we're all on one accord, I want us to define gift as follows, and that is, it is something that is given willingly, without payment, or without looking for anything in return. That's the definition we're going to use. With that, I have a follow-up question. It's sort of a tongue-in-cheek question, but I got to ask it anyway. How many of you, and I want to see some hands when I ask this question, it's not a rhetorical one, how many of you have ever given somebody a gift? Oh, if every hand doesn't go up, that is a shame. We've got people here who have never given anybody a gift. Oh, my gosh. Choir? Oh, just, okay. I'm sitting there going, Pastor Anna, guess what we ain't getting this year? After you have given this gift to somebody, a gift that you wanted them to have, a gift that you gave from the heart, a gift that you gave with love, a gift that took you hours and hours to find on Amazon. You packaged it up nice and neatly, and you gave it to that person, and you said, this is for you. And they received it. What were your expectations after they received their gift? Well, my first response to that question is that you would expect them to say the thing that all of our parents taught us since we were toddlers, and that is, what do you say? We say
thank you.
We say thank you. The next thing we expect them to do with that gift is to receive it with joy and use it. Enjoy it. Make the best of it. Isn't that right, church? But now, what if you go back to that person's house a day later, a week later, a month later, following Christmas, and you find that gift that you so lovingly picked out for them with so much thought and so much effort and so much time sitting on a table behind a shelf in the same package that you gave it to them in? How would that make you feel? My answer to that question is that you would probably feel a wide range of emotions, starting from disappointment all the way down to possibly anger. Is that right, church? It's with that in mind that we enter into our sermon today. For you see, this is what drove that emotion, that explosive response from God in both scriptures that we read. God went out of his way. In our gospel reading, God is that landowner. The slaves or the servants that he talked about are those who are under his watch and care. And what he did was he took the time out, and as he crafted each and every one of them, before they were born, before they knew and came into this world, God knew their hearts. God knew what they were capable of. And so when they were born, God gave them these talents, these gifts, these abilities. And he said, take them, use them, let them grow. I have blessed you with these things so that you can be a blessing to this world, so that you can go out and touch people's hearts and transform this world and make it the world that I wanted it to be. And so when the first one went out and did just that and came back and said, I took the 5 talents that you gave me and I've multiplied them, what God looked at that moment was the return on those gifts. For as they went forward, it wasn't necessarily 5 coins that came back, but it was all of the benefits that 5 coins was able to provide. And so that blessing on that one person was a blessing on all those whose lives it may have touched. And ultimately, it became a blessing to God because he knew that his work would now continue to go forward. And it was same in the case of the one with the two talents. Those two talents went out. It went to work however he invested it. And it came back as a blessing to that person who did the work. But ultimately, a blessing for God when he said, look at all the wonderful things that my servants are doing in this world. And then comes the person with the one talent who did nothing with it. They took that talent. They hid it. They took their talent and decided that if I did the wrong thing with it, maybe God will be angry with me. They took their talent and said, well, maybe if I just keep it to myself, no one will know. No one will find out. And then when I talk to God, I can tell God how wonderful his talent was. But I didn't do anything with it. And it's with that that God got angry. It's with that that God decided to take that talent away and give it to somebody else who would actually put it to use. Beloved people of God, how many of you are familiar with this old adage, if you don't use it, what happens? You lose it. And so with that in mind, the question comes back. What does God expect of us? To finish the sentence, when he blesses you with something. The answer is that you will take it, receive it with love, say thank you for it, and enjoy it. On this day, a day that has been designated as Stewardship Sunday, historically, whenever that phrase is mentioned, the first thing that happens, and this has been, how many years have I been preaching now? I'm heading into my 20th year. If I say, congregation, today is Stewardship Sunday, here's what happens. Oh, here we go again, talking about money. I'm not going to ask how many of you have done that because I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. But here's the fact of the matter. Stewardship is more than just money. Yes, there is a financial component to it. As you heard it so eloquently stated earlier today by Ken Crucius when he said that the monies that we have been given are a gift from God. There's another phrase that we've learned in the reading of the book of Job. It says that the Lord gives and the Lord does what? Takes away. All this material stuff is fleeting. It comes and it goes. But what's important is what you do with it while you have it. And so with that, when we think about stewardship, what I'd like to do is just have a little fun with you. In your hymn book on page 644, it's a song that I can't begin to sing. I don't know how to sing it. I've never heard it before. But the words are so wonderful. Find it, if you will. And when you have it, what I want you to do is just read along with me. You can either read out loud or you can read to yourselves. But I want you to just hear these words. They're absolutely wonderful. 466. The title of the song is God Whose Giving Knows No Ending. And it reads, God Whose Giving Knows No Ending, from your riches, rich and endless store, nature's wonder, Jesus' wisdom, costly cross, grave's shattered door, gifted by you, we turn to you, offering up ourselves in praise. Thankful song shall rise forever, gracious donor of our days. Skills and time are ours for pressing towards the gold of Christ your Son. all at peace and health and freedom. Races joined, the church made one. Now direct our daily labor, lest we strive for self alone. Born with talents, make us servants fit to answer at your throne. Treasures too you have entrusted, gained through powers your grace conferred, ours to use for home and kindred, and to spread the gospel word. Open wide our hands in sharing, as we heed Christ's ageless call, healing, teaching, and reclaiming, serving you by loving all. Beautiful words, aren't they? The part that struck me in reading this was these phrases. Now direct our daily labor, lest we strive for self alone. Born with talents, make us servants, fit to answer at your throne. And then the end of it, healing, teaching, and reclaiming, serving you by love alone. This song answers the question, what does God expect us to do when he gives us gifts and talents? What God expects us to do is to use those things that God has given you, the things that God has blessed you with, to be a blessing to those whom you encounter. Beloved people of God, the bottom line is this. You were blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Do me a favor. Turn to somebody near you. Look them in the eye and repeat after me. Look. You were blessed to be a blessing. Now turn to somebody else and say the same thing. You were blessed to be a blessing. Now everybody look at me and say, and I'm a blessing too. Yes, beloved people of God, you are a blessing. You were blessed to be God's blessing on this earth. You were blessed to be God's hands, his eyes, his ears, his shoulder when somebody needs a shoulder to cry on. You were blessed to be the one to carry God's message to those who need to hear it most. You were blessed to be the one who would reach out in places where most of us dare not go so that others will know that God loves them just as much as God loves each and one, every one of you here today. And so it's with that, church. God has given you all that you need to go out and to be a blessing to others, to live into those wonderful commandments, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the way you do that is by taking all those things that God has given you and go out and to be a blessing to this world. And so it's with that that I challenge you to not be afraid to go out and to serve God in this way. And if you don't know where to get started, just simply listen to this one wonderful prayer. And it says, and I quote, Lord, help us to go out and to use the fruits of our labors and the time and the talents that you have invested in us. But above all that, help us to go out and to not make excuses like this. I was afraid, and I went out and I hid your talent in the ground, worried what others might say. I can't sing, so when we stand to sing, I don't even move my lips for fear noise may come out. I'm not rich, so I can't give like others, so I give nothing. Lord, I just didn't have the time to do what you needed me to do. I knew I was supposed to call someone today, but I just didn't get around to it. Maybe tomorrow, if I have the time. Well, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach Sunday school. So I'm not even going to help them set up the supplies or the crayons or the books, because that's not my strength. I can't cook. So I'm not going to help the fellowship committee by even moving a table or setting up the plates. I'm not popular. I'm not in the middle of this little church. Everybody doesn't know my name. So I'm just going to stay on the sidelines and do nothing but watch everybody else do what they do. Beloved people of God, I challenge you to let go of all the excuses that we have carried throughout the years and allow God to use you to the best of your ability. Don't try to be like me. Don't try to be like Pastor Anna. Use your gifts that God has given you and be the best you that you can be. And if you do that, what you'll discover is that you have been truly a blessing to those who needed to be blessed by you and by God. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you so much for blessing us this day, that we may go out and be a blessing to those who stand in need. We ask, Lord, that you continue to use us in such a way that we will not only be a blessing amongst ourselves within this building, but it will go out throughout our doors, throughout this community, and as far and as wide as you will send us. And Lord, we are just grateful that you chose us for this task. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.